chocolate syrup and seltzer water mixed with milk. Stir it up into a heady froth, tasting just like syrup. You scream, I steam, we all want it cream. I think there's cans in Boston, it must be something in L.A. But Bickies on King's Highway was the air cream of choice. Hey, if you don't believe me, go ask any other boy. Ah, you scream, I steam, we all want air cream. Ah, you scream, I steam, we all want air cream. Got a shot, choked the bubbles up your nose. Made it easy to deal with knife fights. Kids pissing in the street. Ah, you scream, I steam. We all want it cream. Ah, you scream, I steam. We all want it cream. So the next time you're in Brooklyn, please say hello for me. Antonio's for pizza, ice cream at Alan Shirley's. But mostly you go to Becky's, sit in a booth and say hello. Have some chocolate egg cream, one stay and go. You scream, I steam, we all want egg cream. You scream, I steam, we all want egg cream.
No, but if that's all you got.
Do you want some coffee or something?
Huh? No, but if that's all you got.
Hi,
fellas.
How about a...
Buy this book. Improve your life. Hitler. Good organizer. Not in favor of him, but good organizer.
Would you like tomatoes?
Spiked.
And Mike tap one. Mike tap two.
My music. I don't have an act. Your music. I don't play music.
You have one member from Velvet Underground back with you.
The organ.
We had reports here that 3/4 of the group were from Velvet Underground. Why do you think we got these reports? Did you in fact have the members?
No, RCA publicity.
Why is that too much mechanical bureau?
Is it totally studio production rather than anything else?
No.
What sort of stuff can we expect to see you performing?
Probably nothing.
And what does that mean?
All the old stuff.
All the old stuff from your earlier LPs.
Yeah, I'm just going to fall back on that other stuff and, you know. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
What's the point?
It'll be nice.
Mike,
tap
three.
Shooting, Mark.
Yeah, of course I'm shooting.
Cool.
What's it like singing to Japanese people? Did you like it?
Love it. I would live in Tokyo if I could.
How did they react to you?
That's why I live in Tokyo.
They loved you?
No, they hated me.
How did they show this hate?
By giving me a discount. After putting the price up like they do in New York, that's why I went.
They gave you tickets a discount?
Mm-mm. Huh? They gave me stuff I didn't declare a customs on discount.
The next big act coming into Australia is Marlene Dietrich.
Well, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, well, she's still singing. Do you think you'll be doing heroin at the age of 75 like her?
No.
You are not. I don't believe you.
Well, then stop asking.
You look a lot younger.
Yeah, what's your sign?
No. Who's that?
Nobody you know.
Doesn't travel with you?
Sure he does.
Listen, I read in one interview, there's so many...
Don't believe what you read.
No, I don't, but... Is
don't
it true
believe
that
what you see.
Is it true that you wrote Sally Can't Dance in the studio?
If they say so, I guess.
But did you?
I wasn't there.
You were there.
No, I wasn't. Dougie did it.
Are you happier as a brunette?
Are you happier as a schmuck?
I'm no schmuck.
I'm no brunette.
You were blonde last time, though.
No, I wasn't.
You were?
I was a bleached blonde.
A bleached blonde.
Trashy blonde.
You looked younger as a blonde.
Well, you look older.
I'm not a blonde, though.
I know, it's worse.
Listen.
You don't stand a chance. You're going to dig your own grave.
I know, I'm not trying to fight you.
Ask us a nice, reasonable question instead of, you know, who do you date? You know. Pardon?
What would you like us to ask you?
Yeah, what would you like us to ask
I'll
you?
Ask you?
Why don't you give me the answer and I'll repeat it?
Listen, why isn't Norman Gunst to me?
Do you like Berlin?
I've never been there.
The album you made.
Oh, the album. It's a long time ago. I mean, I'm obsessed with Metal Machine music.
Since you were here last time, you seem to have been working full-time, doing concerts all over.
It was a lie. There are five of me going out, just like the Drifters in the old days.
There's no... you think there are?
I know there are. Two of them are out there. We've been mutating. Genetic damage. They never forgave us for Nagasaki. Sad.
Do you like work performing?
No.
Why do you do it?
Because I don't like it.
Why do you do it?
Because I don't like it.
You like doing things you don't like?
Yeah. That's paradox, isn't it?
It sure is.
I know.
You're just a bundle of paradoxes.
Well, when I'm faced with a paradox, I become paradoxical.
Yeah. I actually spoke to you once when you were here last time, and you were very different.
I know.
You weren't in a press conference.
I know.
You weren't paradoxical.
I won't tell
then.
If you don't.
I just told.
Well, you told in public. They expected of me. I don't know what they expected of you, except it wasn't that good.
What? What wasn't that good?
You like Australia?
How are you going?
Good to see you.
It's cool.
Oh, Lou.
Oh, Lou Reed today here on Time Travel with Chris Earle. My buddy Bob passed away. We went and saw Lou a bunch of times, and we actually met him once, which was pretty cool. He was always a great performer, so I found out my buddy had passed away, and I figured I'd play a little Lou Reed and some Rolling Stones for him. Here's some Velvet Underground Sunday morning. We're going to get to story time in a minute, and then I'll play some Rolling Stones after story time. Got a couple of good ones, Mother Goose rhymes, and also a Star Trek story for you today. Here's Velvet Underground Sunday morning.
Sunday morning brings the dawn in. It's just a restless feeling by my side. Sunday morning, it's just the wasted years so close behind. Watch out, the world's behind you. There's always someone around you who will call. It's nothing at all. Sunday morning, and I'm falling. I've got a feeling I don't want to know. Early dawning, Sunday morning, it's all the streets you cross. Not so long ago. Watch out, the world's behind you. There's always someone around you who will call. It's nothing at all.
Look in a mirror with with a feeling of pride. Instead of seeing a reflection of failure or crime, I don't want to turn away to make sure I cannot see. I don't want to hold my ears when I think about me. Why can't it be good? 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 Want to be like the wind when it uproots a tree, carries it across an ocean to plant in a valley. I want to be like the sun that makes it flourish and grow. I don't want to be what I am anymore. Why can't it be good? 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 I was thinking of some kind of whacked out syncopation that would help improve this song. Some knock 'em down rhythm, help it move along. Some rhyme of pure perfection, a beat so hard and strong. If I can't get it right this time, will the next time come along? Why can't it be good? Why can't it be good? Why can't it be good? Why can't it be good?
Like that for such a long, long time. I love to watch you draw and watch you paint. When I saw you last, I turned away. My Billy Name was sick, locked up in his room. He asked me for some speed. I thought it was for you. I'm sorry if I doubted your good heart. Things always seem to end before they start. Hello, it's me. There was a great gallery show. Your cowl wallpaper and your floating silver pillows. I wish I'd paid more attention when they laughed at you. Hello, it's me. Pop goes pop artist. The headline said, is shooting a put on? Is Warhol really dead? You get less time for stealing a car. I remember thinking as I heard my own record in a bar. They really hated you. Now all that's changed. But I have some resentments that can never be unmade. You hit me where it hurts and I didn't laugh. Your diaries are not a worthy epitaph. Well now, Andy, I guess we've gotta go. I wish some way, somehow, you like this little show. I know it's late and coming, but it's the only way I know. Hello, towards me. Good night, Andy. Goodbye, Andy.
Peggy Sue, oh, how my heart yearns for you.
WMFO in Medford. My name is Chris Earle. You are listening to The Chris Earle Show. It goes out to my buddy Bob, who passed away. We went and saw Lou Reed a number of times together, and he was a big fan of the Stones. I'll play a little Stones for you in a bit, but for right now, it's story time, everybody. Oh, I have a couple of doozies for you today. We have Mother Goose nursery rhymes on Peter Pan Records, and we also have on Peter Pan Records Star Trek, The Crier in Emptiness, and Passage to Moav. So let's do Mother Goose nursery rhymes and then The Crier in Emptiness by Star Trek, 1979 Peter Pan Records. And Mother Goose nursery rhymes goes back further than that, but they always reissued it a number of years. For those of you who don't know, these Peter Pan records, they would come out with books and records, and they would have you turn the page as you read along, and it taught kids how to read. And I've picked up a number of these over the years, and I enjoy them. And I did full two-hour story time sessions here on WMFO, but now with the Chris Earle Show, I'm doing a little comedy, a little music, and some story time in here. So enjoy Mother Goose nursery rhymes. You'll probably know a few of them. Read along or sing along. I'm not sure if we're going to sing or we're going to read. We're going to find out right now. It's Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes here on Storytime on The Chris Earle Show on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.
Hello, girls and boys. Your Peter Pan storyteller is going to tell you some Mother Goose nursery rhymes. When you hear this sound, you turn the page. Now, let's read Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes together. Here we go. Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home and bring their tails behind them.
Turn the page.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to give her poor dog a bone. But when she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so the poor dog had none. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? Silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all of a row.
Turn the page.
Frog, he would a-wooing go. Hi-ho, says Rowley. Whether his mother would let him or no, with a rowly-powly gammon and spinach. Hi-ho, says Anthony Rowley. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread. She whipped them all soundly and put them to bed.
Turn the page.
Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating of Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." Baa, baa, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, little lady, three bags full. One for the master and one for the dame and one for the little boy who lives down the lane.
Turn the page.
Simple Simon met a pieman going to the fair. Says Simple Simon to the pieman, "Let me taste your ware." Says the pieman to Simple Simon, "Show me first your penny." Says Simple Simon to the pieman, "Indeed, I have not any."
Thank you.
Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. He put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well.
Turn the page.
Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye, 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was open, the birds began to sing. Was not that a dainty dish to set before the king? Oh, where has my little dog gone? Oh, where can he be? With his ears cut short and his tail cut long. Oh, where is he?
Turn the page, turn the record over, and we'll continue on the other side.
All right, we'll do that. Story time here on the Chris Earls Show. It's Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes. A few of them a little different than I remember them. On Peter Pan Records. You used to be able to buy these at your Zayas, your Kmart's, your Sears. And I found this one at Savers. Savers is kind of cool. It's got some cool stuff from time to time. You'll see some estate stuff in there, and there's some crap that people have in their cellar, and they just drop it off. And I picked this one up, Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes, book and record. And you turn the page at the signal, and you follow along. It's for kids, you know. For kids. That's what we do everything for, right? For kids. Well, that and money. We do it mostly for money, and then the kids. We like to say it's for the kids, but it's mostly for money. And sex. Let's say sex, then money, and then the kids after you have sex. Because you have sex and then you have the kid. That's how it works, as far as I know. Well, actually, first you need money. Right. You need money to have sex and then have the kid. And then with the kid, you have to go get money again and have sex and maybe another kid. And if you don't have money, you usually get divorced or somebody else wants money. Anyway, let's play side two of Mother Goose Nurse. Mother Nurse, Rhyme Goose. Sounds good.
Here we are on the second side of the record. Let's read together again.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Wee Willie Winky runs through the town, upstairs and downstairs in his nightgown, rapping at the window, crying through the lock. Are the children in their beds? Now it's 8 o'clock.
Turn the page.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bow, and he called for his fiddlers three. Here am I, little jumping Joan. When nobody's with me, I'm always alone.
Turn the page.
There was a crooked man, and he went a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence beside a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a little crooked house. Lavender's blue, diddle diddle, lavender's green. When I am king, diddle diddle, you shall be queen.
Turn the page.
Little boy blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn the page.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, jump over the candlestick. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. There came a big spider who sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away.
Turn the page.
Peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot 9 days old. Some like it hot, some like it cold, some like it in the pot 9 days old. Three blind mice, see how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind mice?
Turn the page.
Old Mother Goose, when she wanted to wander, would ride through the air on a very fine gander.
Jack and Joe went up the hill, both with a buck and a quarter. Joe came down with 250. Little boy blue. He needed the money.
All right, we won't go any further than that. There's nursery rhymes. Mother Goose nursery rhymes, book and record on Peter Pan Records here on Storytime. Let's have a story from outer space. It's from 1979 on Peter Pan Records. It is Star Trek, and the name of this one is The Crier in Emptiness here on The Chris Earle Show. Here we go.
Captain's log, stardate 5444.9. The Enterprise is on a charting run through the partially explored Moran sector. Since this region seems relatively devoid of suns and planets, we expect to be finished here in a few days. Kirk out.
Not soon enough for me, Captain.
Bored, Mr. Connors? I thought you liked solitude and quiet.
I do, Captain, but there are limits to one's ability to enjoy nothingness. Look at the screen. No planets worthy of investigating. Hardly any stars. Not even any interesting phenomena like quasars or black holes or redisars. Just parsecs and parsecs of nothing.
We should be through here by tomorrow, ship time, Connors. In the meantime... Lieutenant Uhura.
Yes, Captain?
Aren't you going to acknowledge?
Acknowledge what, Captain?
Wasn't that an incoming communication?
No, sir. I thought it came from the navigation console.
Mr. Sulu.
Not from here, sir.
There, that's it.
All systems neutral, Captain. It's not any of our instrumentation.
What is it, Mr. Spock?
I don't know, Captain. I've never heard anything quite like it. Commencing sensor scan.
Uhura, are you sure nothing's trying to call in?
Positive, Captain. No one on board is sending either.
Mr. Sulu? Mr. Connors?
All clear, Captain. No sign of any auditory malfunction. All instruments functioning normally.
Connors, are you sure there's no ship out there?
Certain, Captain. If there is, it doesn't register on our screens.
Mr. Spock, anything from the computer?
Nothing definite, Captain. We appear to have encountered a previously unknown physical phenomenon. There are faint indications it is highly localized while remaining diffused.
That's contradictory, Mr. Spock.
Quite, Captain. The computer is equally confused.
There's one more possibility.
All hands, this is the captain speaking. I'm aware that this assignment has been less than exciting thus far. This is no excuse for interfering with ship's communication. Whoever is generating semi-musical noises on the bridge will please cease such activities immediately.
I guess that's...
I don't think this is the product of someone's peculiar sense of humor, Captain. This doesn't sound like any kind of music I've ever encountered.
I have to agree, Spock. But if the source isn't outside the ship and it isn't inside, then where is it coming from?
An excellent question, Captain.
Captain's log supplementary. The mysterious music has been with us for 3 days now and gives indications of increasing rather than abating. Every effort to locate some source for the sounds has proven futile. We are no closer to an explanation now than we were days ago.
I feel it incumbent on me to point out that if this keeps up, crew efficiency is bound to suffer.
I'm aware of the problem, Mr. Spock. There doesn't seem to be any way to shut out the sound except by plugging one's ears. It's still hard to sleep, and we can't have everyone walking around with earplugs. I can't run this ship by sign language.
Speaking of earplugs, Spock...
Please, Doctor, for once try to be serious. Besides, I believe I have isolated the cause of the sound. If it's a natural phenomenon, it behaves in the most unexpected fashion. Rising in certain sections of the ship while falling in others, as if it were moving bodily about.
Oh, come on, Spock.
There are definite modulations in the noise which suggest other than random origin. Some possess almost vocal undertones. I am left with only one hypothesis, that we are being visited by a being of pure sound.
Pure sound? Pure hogwash? The most ridiculous part of it is... I think you're right, Spock. I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. It keeps getting louder.
Do you think it's aware of us as intelligences, Bones?
I don't know, Jim. It's an incredible theory, but as Spock says, nothing else seems to fit. I've already had some cases of people who can't get to sleep even with strong earplugs. I've got a solution to that, at least for the worst cases.
What's that?
Nurse Chapel is monitoring the shuttle. The influence of this noise doesn't extend beyond the ship. Once outside, people can sleep in peace again. But the shuttle will only hold so many, even in relays. We've got to find a way to turn it off.
I might add, Captain, that we have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce. It could conceivably drive everyone on board permanently deaf if not stopped.
I might as well share the rest of the bad news with you. Lieutenant Uhura, tell them.
You see, the deep space beam is useless, all channels. All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm. We're cut off. I'm still keeping several channels open for incoming calls, however. Maybe someone will listen in and be able to tell we're in trouble.
More likely, they'll just think we're having a heck of a party.
That leaves us with only one choice. Somehow we're going to have to make contact with this thing. Tell it what it's doing. Make it understand. Spock, do you think it's capable of communicating?
If so, Captain, it has not responded to any of the several attempts I've made. If it does comprehend, it is choosing to ignore our voices, codes, and screen signs I've displayed throughout the ship.
Can't we fight back somehow, Spock?
Fight pure sound, Doctor. How? We could overpower it with more sound. Maybe. That might drive us insane or deaf faster than the creature. It might also anger it. It might find a blast of artificial sound challenging like another of its own kind. I cannot imagine what its belligerent response would be, except to guess it would not be pleasant.
Everyone okay? That one hurt.
All right here, Captain, but half the transparent facings on my instruments are gone.
Damage reports coming in, Captain, from all over the ship.
The danger is no longer theoretical, Captain. The creature appears able to reproduce any frequency it desires. Presumably, it is potentially capable of sonically destroying any substance on board.
Whether it is doing this intentionally or inadvertently will not matter if it happens to hit upon the resonating factor of the human bone.
We've got to make contact somehow.
It may be trying to contact us, Jim. It's liable to end up killing us trying to contact us.
There's got to be a way. Mr. Sulu? Mr. Connors? Where's Lieutenant Connors?
He left a few minutes ago, Captain, during that painful burst of noise.
Lieutenant Connors, you left your post without... What is that thing?
If someone would lend me aid.
Here, let me.
I recognize it, Captain. An Edoan Elysion. The triple keyboard operates an echo chamber. Resonating bars made of bone. And something that rather resembles an earthly xylophone twisted into a Mobius strip.
What are you going to do, Mr. Connors?
Captain, the noise, my ears.
Connors, what are you...
I'm going to attempt to communicate with it, Captain. The only way we haven't yet tried. Mr. Spock spoke of fighting noise with noise. Somehow I feel there is a thing here that needs to be understood, not fought. I will start by improvising, trying to work from one of the alien's themes.
We didn't try music.
Continue, Connors.
It's reacting, Jim. It understands.
Keep playing, Lieutenant. The universal language, music. We've said it for thousands of years. I never thought I'd see it interpreted literally. Stay with it, Connors.
I'm trying, Captain.
How lovely.
The alien as symphony. There's a logical classification for you, Spock.
Mathematical precision is certainly inspiring, Doctor.
Captain, I'm getting tired. I don't know if I can keep up.
You've got to, Connors. We can't risk breaking off now. We may never reestablish contact again.
Jim, how are we going to explain to it what we want it to do?
I don't know. Spock?
I don't know either, Captain. I don't know if the terms music and language are truly interchangeable.
Connors, play something sad. Convince it all is not well.
It may be working, Captain. It only joins logic to its sounds.
Emotion, you mean? Jim, maybe it... No, it didn't understand. It didn't understand at all. It's no good, Jim. It didn't work.
Wait, Bones. Give it time.
Connors! Captain! I can't keep up. I can't. It's not possible.
Do your best, Mr. Connors. It's gone. It's finally gone.
Gone where, Jim?
Who knows, Bones? We don't know where it came from. We can't imagine where it goes. I hope it went away happy. Perhaps someday, when we understand a little more about how our own music affects us, we'll be ready to understand and communicate with creatures like it a little better.
I heard a voice crying in the wilderness.
What was that, Lieutenant?
Nothing, sir. All channels appear clear now. Shall I contact the nearest Starfleet base?
No, we don't appear to have sustained any serious damage. We'll finish this charting run as planned. Mr. Connors, thank you.
My arms feel like two corings of a planetary center, Captain. But I believe I actually enjoyed it. I've never had such a fluid, responsive musical partner.
Did you say something, Bones?
Oh, I was just wondering, Jim. Do you think we'll ever find it again?
I think so, Bones. When we're able to talk to it. I think it wanted to talk to us. It'll be back. Bones, have you ever listened to any violin concertos?
I'm not much of a classical aficionado, Jim.
There are times when that lone violin is up there against all those other instruments, and they're quiet, and that one violin is the loneliest sound in the world. I think our visitor meant us no harm. It was just plain lonely.
Mr. Connors, maintain course. Mr. Sulu, Mr. Spock, resume charting procedures.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. Watch for the further adventures of Star Trek. That's book and record set, The Crier in Emptiness. I got a headache just listening to that one. What is going on? What's bizarre is I'm reading along here, and it's a comic book. They have it like a comic. And Mr. Sulu's black, Uhura is white, and for some reason, Chekhov is called Mr. Connus. What is going on? They just didn't care. My guess is they changed Connors from Chekhov because it probably would have been hard for kids to pronounce Chekhov, but they got Uhura in there. But why is Uhura white? Why is Mr. Sulu black? I don't know. It's weird. I did like Jim, though. He just kind of was talking the whole time. He's very talky, that one. I don't know if kids would like that. But anyway, Star Trek. I got a couple more stories for you, and we'll move on to something else here on the Chris Earle Show. I got Treasure Island, a Disney story. I had this when I was a kid. I don't know where it went. Probably went into the trash or sold somewhere, but I don't have it anymore. But I found it online, Treasure Island Disney story. This is pretty good. It's from 1971. It's read by a woman named Lois Lane. Treasure Island. We know the story of Treasure Island. I always enjoyed this one. So let's listen to this. It's 6 minutes, and then I have the Nashua, New Hampshire High School graduation speech of June 17th, 1964, coming up on Storytime. How bizarre is that? I found this in a, this was in a Savers, I think, as well. It was just like sitting there, and I'm like, oh, this could be interesting. I wonder if this person's even still alive. They probably are. 1964, they would be 18, 17. But who knows? We got the valedictorian speech coming up from Nashua, New Hampshire, from June 17th, 1964. But in the meantime, here's Treasure Island by Disneyland Records. They used to call it Disneyland Records before it was shortened to Disney, of course.
This is a Disneyland original little long-playing record, and I am your story reader. I am going to begin now to read the story of Treasure Island. You can read along with me in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when Tinkerbell rings her little bells like this. Let's begin now. Jim Hawkins' great adventure began one day at the Admiral Benbow Inn in England. A man named Billy Bones, who did not have long to live, had given Jim a treasure map. Jim showed it to his good friends Dr. Livesey and Squire Trelawney. The treasure was buried on an island. Jim and his friends decided to search for it. In the seaport town of Bristol, the squire hired Captain Smollett. The captain would undertake the sea voyage in his ship, the Hispaniola. The squire also hired a cook named Long John Silver. Long John, who had spent many years at sea, brought some of his friends to join the crew. Nobody knew it, but Long John and his friends were pirates. They wanted the treasure themselves. The ship set sail from Bristol Harbour. For many days, things went smoothly. One day, Jim was hungry. He climbed into a barrel to get himself an apple. Hidden from sight, he heard Long John and the pirates plotting to take over the ship. Jim told the squire, the doctor, and Captain Smollett what he had heard. They asked him to keep an eye on Long John, who had taken a liking to Jim, and to warn them when the pirates were going to strike. Shortly afterward, the island was sighted. Long John, Jim, and some of the pirates got into a boat to tow the ship into the bay. The pirates left on board decided to mutiny. While Captain Smollett was getting things under control, Long John made Jim his prisoner. He told the captain he would hold Jim until he got the map.